You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on Black and White and Red All Over. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode 59. And I don't have any creative number to throw at you guys, so I'm just going to get into it. So we've got a lot to talk about today, including a couple of friendlies and some, I think it's safe to say, the two biggest business pieces for Juventus this summer. So with all that being said, let me bring in the usual crew here of Sam Lopresti. Hello, Sam.
Evening, Danny. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Chucks. Hello, Chucks.
Well, hey. Yeah, let's get started. Shame that the numbers have gone so high that, we're going to have to come up with something more creative. But
I know. I know. Speaking of which, Chucks, before we bring in our last remaining pod member here, on the day this is released, it's coming out on a certain big Dutchman's birthday. So would you like to wish a certain Dutch defender a happy birthday in his native tongue?
Feliciteert, Matthijs. And that's about all you'll get from me, because you're rich and happy, and all your Instagram stuff I see is always just jolly and well. So anyway, gefeliciteerd, as the Dutch would say.
Man who's not on social media, suddenly Chucks is up on what Delict is doing on Instagram.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Last but not least, Sergio Romero. Hello, Sergio.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here as always. Dutch is a wild language, man. It's not easy in the ears, I'm going to tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's effectively useless as well. But, despite the, relative strength of the country, like globally, I mean, it's a well-respected country and very affluent country, but I mean, the language is useless. So, yeah.
My father has some European friends who take jabs at each other between the triple convolutedness of Dutch, Swiss, German, and Dutch, and German rather, Dutch, Swiss, German, and German. All of them taking different sides as to which one is a genuine language and which one is, as one person referred to Swiss German, I think, a disease of the throat.
Man, that's poetry. That's poetry, man. I should use that one day, too. I really want to get into it with someone. I should use that.
We'll try and transition out of that. And I think it's safe to say that the last time we saw Juventus play, which is now 3 days ago, since we're basically recording here in between the Barcelona friendly and the final friendly of the summer against Atalanta before things kick off next weekend in Udine. it wasn't poetry in motion by any means. So there's a transition, Chucks, as you nod your head in approval. And, you know, it's funny because you see a 3-0 scoreline, you see the performance that Juventus trotted out, and it was hard for me to get upset to it, because you think about everything that's going on. They had a lot of Primavera and under 23 players in the first two friendlies, and then all of a sudden the regulars come back, and it's like, oh, right, these guys. But then you remember, oh, right, these guys have only been training for 4, 5, 6 days together. So the context of it, as Max Allegri is trying to figure out what the heck to do, and I'm sure Sam will mention his article on the strikers in a minute here, but there's a whole lot of pieces that Max Allegri is trying to fit together, and it feels like he's had about, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 training sessions to try and figure it all out. So that's my way of trying to forgive a 3-0 friendly loss to Barcelona. Chucks, what's your way of trying to render Max Allegri's task with everything he has going on in these last two friendlies?
I show no forgiveness. I show no mercy.
Laying down the hammer. Unacceptable. Yes.
No, don't worry. I do. I've become more mellow as I've aged. So I say as I'm 28 years old, but whatever. Anyway, no, like you said, I mean, you put it quite well. There's obviously has to be some context and just some nuance when we try and evaluate a situation like that, or just a friendly like that. So obviously on one hand, okay, it's a friendly. So in my eyes, I think in friendly games, you kind of have, I would say, 2 goals. So in order, I would say the first one would be fitness. So you just want to know, okay, can everybody just, you know, run 90 minutes again after, you know, downing all kinds of pastas and tiramisus on vacation, and you know, after all that extra protein and calories, can people actually run 90 minutes? So I think that's your first goal during a friendly or just during a preseason phase, is fitness, is, you know, is everybody just, you know, up to shape and just feeling good again, feeling kind of match sharp, which I'll say, yeah, that's another one, kind of that match sharpness to yeah, to feel sharp, to feel kind of mentally like into it again. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, we forget that players, you know, they play, but there's also very much the mental aspect of it, of being like, okay, I'm back at it again. I'm, you know, I've gone from vacation, just not thinking about anything, spending time with family and just, you know, hanging out. And granted, a lot of players didn't really have much of a vacation given the Euros and Copa America and the Olympics, which I don't actually think... No, off the top of my head, I don't think any Juve players participated in the Olympics.
Hell, but you are correct.
Last 16 months, man. I mean, you think about it, they've basically been going since, what, June of last year?
Yep. Yeah, correct. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, that's it. That's the thing. I mean, they've not basically had any vacation. So then you get that very, like, sharp change. So you've had nonstop football for months and months and months and months, and then still the international tournaments, and then tiny break, and then right at it again. So it's just a very, I think that adjustment, just that mental adjustment, if anything, I think that's what preseason is for. If you know, thinking about that, it's just handling those adjustments from really mentally on like 100%, and then very short break, and then on again. So I think that's one goal you want to focus on. And then after that, then you want to get into like tactics and saying like, okay, is everybody kind of understanding the tactics that, well, in this case, Max Allegri, are the players kind of ready for the general tactics that he wants to play this season, which is easier for him because he's obviously been here for, you know, 5 years, you know, 5 consecutive seasons. So I think that phase will be a little less strenuous, but still, you still want, I mean, there's still new players. I mean, there's players he's never coached. McKennie, obviously, being a big player that he's never coached before. But yeah, I think those are 2 things you want to focus on. And then, yeah, I mean, results are secondary. I mean, yes, we lost 3-0. That's obviously not pleasant. But I mean, results are just completely secondary during preseason. You just want to know that, again, that everybody's fit, that everybody understands the tactics, and that there's a general idea of like, okay, are players understanding what they have to do in the upcoming season? Like we talked about last episode with Aaron Ramsey experiment in the Regista position, that's the kind of thing you want to use preseason for, you know, to see, okay, let's say if, I mean, nobody knows, but if Allegri really wants to play Ramsey, sorry, I said trequartista, I meant regista. Yeah, I think I said, regista. But if Allegri is serious about playing Ramsey in the regista position, like 100%, then you want to use preseason and say, okay, hey, I want to do this with you for the upcoming season. Are you ready for this? Let's try this. You know, how are you feeling about it? Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I mean, those are the things ideally I would want to see during a game like that, during a game against big opposition like Barcelona. But obviously, as fans, we don't know what conversations go on behind the scenes. But I mean, I just hope that those goals were kind of, you know, progressed during the game against Barcelona. But yeah, obviously, the game wasn't good. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and defend that. I mean, it wasn't good. But hey, I mean, I'm hoping there's some progress and hoping that we're just getting ready for the season.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to preseason soccer where the players sound made up and the points don't matter. I really care so little about the score in games like this. I care, does everybody walk off the field under their own power? Are there no injuries? And, you know, our fitness, you know, is fitness being built up and are the tactics starting to settle in? We still don't really know what kind of tactics Max is going to use. Like I said in the piece that I had up this week, we don't necessarily know if there's going to be a set of tactics for Max or if he's just going to go game to game. That seems like his style. I don't particularly enjoy it, but there it is. And to be fair, as the broadcaster said on that game, as I was watching it on ESPN Plus, by halftime, Neto was actually the busier goalkeeper. And
Yes, he was.
You know, Ronaldo and Morata had started doing the thing that they do up top. They'd done it a couple times. You know, they'd paired up very well under Pirlo last year in a pair, and they'd been working pretty well in that. And, you know, if they had, you know, if it hadn't been a friendly where everyone was being subbed off and everybody's fitness levels were being monitored after coming back from vacation and stuff like that, maybe we would have seen something different in the second half. As it was the second half, you know, a lot of the younger guys came in. Some of the guys that came on had just come back from vacation came in, and, you know, it disjointed things as the second half of a preseason friendly is wont to do. But, you know, I found that those last 10, 15 minutes of the first half pretty encouraging from one standpoint. Danny, I think you've mentioned this at one point today. Your large adult son looked really, really good.
That was probably my biggest thing, is Bentancur looked a lot like the one we saw under Sarri rather than the one under Pirlo. And I mean, obviously I'm the one driving his bus, even though that's probably slowed down a whole lot over the last year. But yeah, that was my biggest thing, was that he looked more of the player I'm used to seeing rather than the one who was just filled with mistakes and just didn't look all that great overall.
Yeah. And then, you know, you said this in your post-match, Danny, you know, there was no Paulo Dybala. He'd only just started training again. So that was, you know, that was one thing, you know, seeing guys like Chiesa, you know, they came out in the second half because, you know, he'd just come back. You're going to get games like this in preseason because it's preseason and everyone is still working. This is the time where you're supposed to work and work your way up. And we'll, you know, there's another friendly on Saturday against Atalanta, very good team. They just blitzed the heck out of Alessandria in Serie B today, 7-1, but they are going to be a very good team this year. I would go so far as to say very much Scudetto rivals this year for Juventus. That's going to be far more telling on Saturday than a game against a team that was 2 weeks ahead of you in match fitness. And that's the other thing about that game, is that, you know, that's all watching preseason friendlies between any Italian team and any team not in Italy is there's going to be that gulf because Italy always starts last. And, you know, back when Italy needed to, you know, the fourth place team needed to qualify in the Champions League in the preliminary rounds, that was actually a real detriment to the Italian teams, because like a lot of the times those would be the Italian team's first competitive game, whereas everybody else had been playing a couple of league games already. Fortunately, that isn't a thing anymore. But yeah, that's, you know, against a team that is more at a more advanced stage of readiness in a game that doesn't matter. Really, all I care about is nobody important got hurt. that's really all it. That's the big takeaway. And that there were a couple of encouraging looking performances. You know, Bentancur, like you've said this, Danny, with the one exception of his egregious marking mistake on that second goal, Luca Pellegrini actually played pretty well on the left side in that second half. But, you know, that's what we're looking at, is we're looking at a game that doesn't matter. We're looking at we're looking at the process right now, not at the end result. And it shouldn't be judged as the end result.
It is shocking and appalling how low the standards have gotten over here. They were just willing to let vibe the Gampert trophy. We lost the Gampert trophy. Like, you know, we're in our search to win every cup, every competition, which should be the goal for this club. We already lost one, and everyone's just fine with that. It's a shame, really. It's a shame, really, how low the bar has been set, that we're just fine with that. No, and the real though, it's there were like 15 subs on that game. Like, I mean, Juventus made 11 alone. They changed their entire team at one point. Someone named Alejandro Marquez played, who I had no idea was a person, and he played. Like, I mean, you know, at some point, sure, you want to win games rather than lose them. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Even though we did lose on the Gamper trophy, which I don't know how many, you know, I didn't know you could just make up a trophy. Apparently, a lot of teams do it. I think we should do it. I don't think Juve do it at this point in time, but I think that'd be a nice little racket that we should get in. So, yeah.
Agnelli trophy is going to start up soon, Sergio.
Yeah. Just invite whoever and, you know, play for a made up trophy and
do it. Give it a better, like, name it after Boniperti or something like that. Or like,
yeah, I guess I would know. be the one to one comparison to the Gamper one. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You don't want to lose games 3-0 against, you know, someone who, you know, is on par with you in the sense that they're considered, you know, one of the great clubs in Europe. But, you know, at the same time, it is what it is. I'm not going to sweat over it. If you wanted to get a little bit, you know, critical of it, sure, just because Allegri, you know, you expect him to hit the ground running a little bit more just because he has the experience, just because he has worked with a lot of these guys before. So, you know, last year and even a year before that with Sarri and with Pirlo, respectively, you know, pretty much the first month we were like, hey, you can't judge it. They're new. They're whatever. Like, we can't really, you know, be too harsh on them. I would expect Allegri to hit the ground running a little bit more just because of how experienced he is as a manager and how experienced he is as a Juventus manager specifically. It's not the same team he left, but there's a lot of the same guys. So you'd expect that adaptation process to be quicker. With that said, do I think the season is going to, you know, be a complete failure because they lost the Gamper trophy to Barcelona? No, but it wasn't super enjoyable watching experience either. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is. I don't really have a ton more to add that you guys haven't really touched on.
Now, Sergio, you've mentioned in the past that your significant other roots for a team that Juventus just played over the weekend. Was there any kind of wager on the Gamper trophy?
She had no idea the Gamper trophy was happening, which, to be fair, I wasn't either, like, until I saw a tweet that was like, kickoff in the Gamper trophy. It's like, oh, I guess there's a game now. So, you know, I mean, it's not, again, it is the Gamper trophy. In the history of, you know, glorified friendlies, this is an actual glorified friendly. So, you know, it is what it is.
On a slightly unrelated note, but slightly related, it is amazing to see the lengths to which the, I guess, footballing authorities or football clubs have gone to commercialize preseason friendlies. It's really amazing because it's I mean, this is marketing, isn't it? To call a preseason friendly, I mean, a meaningless preseason friendly, a trophy, because then people are like, whoa, there's a trophy? Wow. And it's like, whoa, the season hasn't even started. We already got a trophy. So that, I mean, you know, like I said, on a semi-serious note, I mean, it is, I guess, an attempt to kind of glamorize the occasion, and that maybe kind of brings in a bit more interest, and maybe that brings in a bit more money. So I don't know. That's just kind of my strange hypothesis. And in fairness, clearly Barcelona need the money.
Well, Chucks, Juventus did win the Berlusconi Cup a couple weekends ago. So
yeah, true. And as the
long awaited return of the Berlusconi Cup,
that's right.
And as one of my catchier songs in my head goes, I hope that results in a lot of dollars and dollars and euros and euros. Mm. If someone can name which song that was. Then,
yeah. Once Juventus wins the league, the cup, the super cup, the Champions League, the super cup, the European super cup or whatever, and then the clubs, the World Cup of clubs, and do that whole thing where you win every trophy, we're going to look back on this moment and rue the fact that we didn't win the Gamper trophy. And that's going to be a stain. It is going to be a stain. You're going to remember this moment.
And then, unfortunately, because of how Allegri did his substitutions, Daniele Rugani could not lift this trophy if Juventus had won it. So
unfortunate.
Another sour note for Sergio on that.
Just bad news all over.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So as we look towards the Atalanta friendly, obviously it's the last one before Juventus kicks off the season and games actually do mean something. I think it's safe to say, from my point of view, the only, outside of everybody staying healthy, the only real person I'm looking to see how they play is Paulo Dybala. So for you guys, is there anything in particular you're looking at this friendly, the first time fans will be back in the Allianz Stadium, I might add, for, you know, what was it, since early last season when they're allowing a couple hundred fans in? But what are we looking at, if anything, other than Juventus staying healthy this weekend and going into their season opener against Udinese actually at full strength?
I'd like to, I don't expect a virtuoso performance, but I do want to see a jump. I want to see some progress as to how they play, as to what tactics they play. And I also hope we see a few more minutes in the legs of some key players. You know, hopefully we come out of that game feeling that it was the last step before being ready, as opposed to kind of wondering if we are. So that's what I'm hoping for off the Atalanta game. And, you know, maybe seeing the introduction, if not on the field, you know, as a bit of a showpiece of a certain midfielder.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, just, you know, fitness. I think really, well, yeah, fitness, and then also just an idea that everybody kind of knows what they're doing going into, you know, the season opener next week, that we kind of get an idea that, okay, everybody knows, you know, what roles they're going to play, and just a kind of idea of the tactical ideas that Max wants to have coming into the season. But then also kind of on the fitness, kind of a tangent on the fitness is indeed, I mean, as you mentioned it, Sam and Danny, with Dybala kind of coming back off injury, I think that's also one thing you want to use preseasons for quite a bit, to kind of get those players that had a kind of troubled season in terms of fitness or an injury plagued season last season, to then use the preseason to get back into, you know, to really just feel their way into, to feel more confident physically and to, you know, feel like their bodies are ready for it. Take, for example, Virgil van Dijk. You know, he's, yeah, used the preseason quite well to just kind of come back from his essentially missing the entire season last year. And yeah, I think that's useful for someone like Dybala and McKennie. You know, I mean, McKennie had a tough season in terms of injuries and just not really being 100% fit all the time. And I think that's kind of what I want to see, like just in this final preseason, just seeing everybody really be, especially those two players, McKennie and Dybala, feeling just 100% fit and just feeling good.
You just had to mention a Dutchman, didn't you?
I did, and I sort of halfway, it's funny, I sort of halfway pronounced his name in the English version, in the Scouser version, Virg. And then I thought, no, he's, I'm almost going to say Virgil van Dijk.
Virgil, no, be no.
But then I thought, no, I'm a Dutchman, come on, I'm a Dutch, so, well, sort of, I don't really know what I am, but anyway, that was entertaining, so.
Yeah, like Sam said, I'd be interested just to see something more close to what we would expect from Allegri, you know, moving forward. As we all know, you know, it's something that you love or you hate, depending on how you know, like your football in general. But, you know, he doesn't really have a style that we all know he's going to play. So it's just going to be interesting to see how he starts setting up, because one would expect that with so we can get into this a little bit later, nice segue, but, you know, once the drama for Manuel Locatelli gets sorted, this is pretty much now actual he is going to get. Like, you'll have a couple minor changes, or maybe not even that, moving forward for the, you know, the start of the season. So at this point, you have the team that you have, and we're going to have to start seeing kind of like how he plans to really set up and to actually, you know, get the season. I think it's a good team too, to kind of like get an idea of where you are in terms of, you know, readiness to compete, or in readiness to start playing games that actually matter. Because you could, you know, schedule whatever, the Juventus Primavera or something, and just destroy them like they usually do. But I think this is probably more helpful just to play against an actual team, and not only an actual team, but like a team, like Sam said, is going to be really good, and is probably going to give you a run for your money. It's kind of been your kind of like a boogeyman for Juve the past couple of years. So I think it's just going to be a good game, a good gauge to really start judging this team. If you want to, you know, get the hot takes out, I would take this game much more than the previous game. I think if Juve lose this game, then we're definitely having a bad season, like, you know, mid-table finish at best, something like that.
Hey, that's a kind of a side note, kind of a question. Are we still doing that friendly where, I forget the name of it, but where Juventus, the senior team, plays against the Primavera team, and then they always have
the
that
Via
big...
Pro Rosa?
Yeah, that one. Thank you.
I don't think so this year.
I think not this year. I think, again, because of COVID, because right. That whole... Yeah. That whole thing is for the whole idea of that is for it to be like a big party. And,
yeah,
you know, the tradition is that at some point in the second half, the fans decide to just stage a pitch invasion. And then they just walk on the pitch and they, you know, shake hands with all the players, and it's all fun, you know, it's all fun. And, you know, we're still not in a position when it comes to the pandemic to be able to do a thing like that. So unfortunately, it's a tradition deferred for another year. But yeah, hopefully by this time next year, we'll be able to talk about that too.
Yeah, that was always fun. And I think we'll get to now the most important stuff off the field. And that's obviously the Locatelli deal and the lengthy negotiations. I think we can put that mildly at this point. And there's been a sudden change, I think, in the tone of the reporting on it, whereas, you know, it's been Juventus submits bid, Atalanta, Sassuolo rejects bid, rinse, repeat. We'll see you in a couple of days or next week. And I think I said the same kind of thing last week as well. But now we're hearing that there could be potentially that door being open to a deal finally being closed. And I think that's, as Sam alluded to, maybe potentially a certain new midfielder at least showing up to Allianz Stadium on Saturday happening. And man, would it be refreshing knowing that Max Allegri can get Juventus's biggest and what feels like only transfer target at this point, finally signed, finally training with his new, with his potential new teammates, and just really trying to get in the world of Max as soon as he can. Because as we know, sometimes Max with new signings, he slowly integrates them, where in other cases, he just throws them to the wolves and says, here you go. So I think that's, for me, if the deal is closed this weekend, will be interesting to see just how Allegri handles them. Because, I mean, we could see him off the bench against Udinese just as much as we could see him in the starting lineup, which for me would be nice, because a competent midfield is something we haven't been able to talk about for, I don't know, 3-4 years.
Yeah. Something like that. and it would, yeah, it would be really nice. It's, you know, Sergio has mentioned this, that not only is Locatelli just really good on his own, he also releases a lot of the other players on the team to be their best selves. And it would be a nice morale boost. Who knows if the players are thinking about this as much, but certainly for the fan base to at least see the one, like, you know, Caio Jorge, okay, cool. You know, one for the future, nice smash and grab at a low price, but it's not something that will alter the team, at least in the short run, unless something crazy happens. This is, you know, this has been the one target that we've been talking about all year long. And when I say all year, yeah, it's because we were talking about Locatelli this time last year too. It's the move that has to be done for this team to take any kind of a step forward. Otherwise, you're looking at a situation where, I mean, will Juve be in the title race this year? Probably, but it would very much be a case of, because the rest of the league took a step back towards us, as opposed to Juve taking a step towards the teams that finished ahead of them in the table. With Locatelli, that step is much more of a possibility, just because of the way he will allow so many other things on the field to shake out. And, you know, it's been a long negotiation. I don't fault Sassuolo for wanting to get what they think is the right value for him. I don't necessarily, you know, what they want for him isn't an overpay either. Like, that's pretty fair value for what Locatelli is. I will say, and I mentioned this a tiny bit in a news blurb that I posted today about the Locatelli thing, is you do have to wonder what that's going to do for future windows as well, because you've got, as it stands right now, you've got Chiesa, I think, what, 60 million will be due to Fiorentina next summer for the completion of that deal. And you'll have however much of the portion of Locatelli's deal due either next summer. If it's due next summer, that's a heck of a lot that you'll be spending before you even think about recruitment for next year. Not saying that that's a reason to not do anything with Locatelli, because you've got to get Locatelli in. But, you know, it's kind of like putting it on the credit. You know, Juve has been putting things on the credit card a little bit. And, you know, we've all seen what that can create in the team that we just played this past week with Barcelona. So while it's, you know, kind of a necessity, you just don't want it to get too out of hand. But that being said, yeah, get it done. Listen to Danny. Just do it already.
I said, please.
He did. He said please and everything.
Yeah, it's kind of like that James Brown song. Baby, please, please. I'm not going to sing. I mean, he does that much.
No, we want you to sing, Chuck.
No.
We want you to
sing. well, I could, but not James Brown. James Brown's songs are too intense to sing, which, as a side note, I don't know if that documentary is still on Netflix, but there's a great documentary on James Brown on Netflix, which was very, very good and very entertaining. So I had some of the footage of his old shows, and yeah, it was just brilliant. That guy lives his music. But anyway, but just on the Locatelli thing, at this point, I mean, we kind of have to get it done, because not just because of how important Locatelli is and will be to this midfield, but just because of time. I mean, the season is starting next week. If we don't get Locatelli, then, I mean, what, you have a week to figure something out? I mean, that's no time. And then we're forced into a panic buy. And then, well, we all know how panic buys go. So, I mean, at this point, it has to be Locatelli or bust, you know, because there just really isn't any time to get anyone else that would solve our problems and at a reasonable price. And, you know, to actually logistically get the deal done within days, you know, we would run into this should go into the football history books of the David De Gea deal from Manchester United to Real Madrid. Oh, the fax machines. Well, now we know that people still use fax machines. Yes, yes, they do. But Locatelli or bust at this point. And I dearly pray that we get him. Otherwise, that won't be good. Let's keep it PG and say it won't be good.
Won't be good. Inside analysis. It won't be good.
Yeah, it won't. It probably won't, just because the team is what it is. There's not another guy coming in. The only other move that has been rumored is if somehow, some way, Aaron Ramsey finds another sucker yet again, and he gets transferred out, and then we bring in Miralem Pjanic. Look. I like the guy. He had a really good, you know, stint here at Juve. If you still think that bringing in Miralem Pjanic and he's the answer, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's not going to be, like, he's going to be better than Ramsey, because at this point, who isn't? But, you know, Pjanic is not going to fix your issues. It's going to be more of the same. And you know, you really do need to bring in a guy that at the very least allows you to play a little with the lineup, at the very least allows you more options. I'm not ready to say that, you know, Manuel Locatelli immediately fixes every issue that the team has, but it helps. It helps a lot. So I do hope, for the sake of this season and for the sake of this team, that they manage to get him and get him quick. To be fatalistic, I think if they come out of that Friday meeting, that reported Friday meeting, without Locatelli as a player, there's a chance, there's a higher chance than we think, then the deal might not happen, that they decide to pull the plug on it, because it's dragging, and the season's about to start. And if this doesn't get done quickly, like, we might lose out on him yet again.
I think it is worth noting, and I said this in print today too, Sassuolo have actually put the official stamp on the guy that is essentially going to be replacing Locatelli in their lineup. So if you look at the exterior, you know, the kind of the second degree of separation from this deal, it looks like, you know, the signs are there that Sassuolo is ready to do it. They just need a number that is good enough. And I think they're finally ready. And I think Juve is finally ready to give them one that they'll at least be okay with.
Yeah. And that's the thing as well. You know, it's like, at this point, I mean, with long deals, long transfer tagos like these, it's always like, okay, is it the player that's holding it up? Is it the club that's holding it up, or both? Or, I mean, I get the idea that the player basically wants to come. I mean, I think that's, you know, I get that idea. I also get the idea that Sassuolo are, I mean, not actively blocking the deal. So that means that it's just money at this point, I guess. So, I don't know. I hope it gets done. But, yeah, I really wonder what's kind of just behind the scenes, what's going on.
Yeah, and I said it in the piece where I asked nicely for Juventus to get this deal done, is like, if Locatelli if Sassuolo just simply were going to the highest bidder, he'd be gone already. He'd probably be at Arsenal. He would have been an Arsenal player a couple of weeks ago. So the fact that Locatelli wants Juventus and only Juventus is really what is, been, I think, a common perception, is really what's keeping this deal alive. Because you look at it and, like I said, he could have gone to Arsenal. There are other, Dortmund were fully involved. There are other clubs who sniffed around and kicked some tires. So if Locatelli had any interest, any small bit of interest of joining anybody else other than Juventus, then this deal, Federico Cherubini would be scrambling to find another kind of Locatelli-ish midfielder, because he'd be gone by now.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. Because we heard that there was interest by Arsenal, and I want to say Dortmund. I might be wrong on that. I didn't remember that correctly in the beginning. And I haven't heard anything since on that. So hey, make it happen.
Well, the other part of the interesting off the field weekend that involves Juventus is the fact that what's being perceived as a kind of another big day negotiating wise for the Juventus front office involves Paulo Dybala's contract, which, if you think about it, the one thing that feels like has been longer than the Locatelli negotiations has been these Paulo Dybala contract negotiations. And as was reported earlier in the day that we're recording here on Wednesday, Juventus and Dybala's agent seem to have pretty good negotiations, and it's being looked at as potentially a case of that this could be closed. And I say that rather reluctantly, knowing how these past, 14, 16 months have gone that we've been talking about this damn contract extension. So knowing all of that, Sergio, are you optimistic that a deal can actually be done and Juventus could announce both Locatelli and Dybala this weekend?
I'm not going to pretend I'm a football agent or a sporting director. I'm not. This is just, coming straight from the hip. Maybe this sounds dumb, but how many meetings do you need to have in order to just agree to a deal that, from the reports and from the looks of it, it just seems like it's the same thing every single time, right? It's like Juve wants to offer less and Paulo Dybala wants a little bit more. And it just seems, what did they do in all that time? Did they just talk and it's like, I want 10. Well, I want 8. Well, have you considered 10? Have you considered 8? And it's that for 2 hours. I don't get it, how you can do this dance for a year. And now the agent finally arrived. He had to quarantine, which I get, that's fine. But I mean, it's just every week, it seems like it's the same report. No, the meeting's definitely happening next week. It's been like that for a year and a half. I don't know why this one would be any different. I mean, I don't. I want to believe, but I honestly think that the Locatelli, if I had to pick, I think the Locatelli deal happens first. And then they just keep dragging this along, because it just seems like it's never going to stop. And it really is. I mean, we're going to be talking about that difference of a couple million, until he's a free player. Straight up, it's been like that for so long that I've lost all hope. But, hopefully they manage to work it out. Hopefully the, umpteenth meeting actually ends up with a deal, now that the guy is actually there after his long steamboat there from Argentina to Italy. So, let's hope.
Well, that's why he couldn't do another Zoom then, right? Because he was on the
screen. I mean, it's not, the pigeon got lost, everything. It was a whole thing. But, now he's there. Hopefully he can bank something out. I'd love that, because I don't know. I just want that to be sorted so that, Dybala can finally focus on actually playing and not have this whole thing, hanging over him on whether or not he leaves the club or not, or, especially now that Allegri has kind of named him that next guy on the team, that vice captain guy. I think that's a vote of confidence. I think they're going to really try to give him every chance to succeed. So just having the contract ready to go and have one thing off his mind, I think that's going to be huge for him. And, talking about things on the pitch.
The one thing that has me a little bit worried about all this is the talk that Dybala's camp seems to be trading a lower salary for a release clause of undetermined number. And release clauses scare me. And I very much enjoyed the days when Juventus, when it was an organizational policy, Juventus not to put them into contracts. One that seems to have been broken in bringing Matthijs de Ligt over. And one that, you know, it seems to be, and obviously we have no idea if this is like a, you know, a number that's attainable, but any number can be attainable for the right price when it comes to a release clause, as we apparent, as we learned a couple of years ago when with Neymar. But yeah, I don't like that idea of a release clause in his contract, especially if, you know, if it's true that Allegri considers him the guy that he wants to build around for the next 4 years or so. That's, you know, he has one great, he has a great year and somebody decides to trigger a release clause and then you're trying to figure out what the f- to do next. Like, sorry, Danny, for the extra work and editing. Like that strikes me as a little odd, but I'm relatively confident that this will get done. It seems almost like Dybala's agent is the one that's been getting in the way of this. I don't think Dybala has wanted this to drag out. I think Dybala loves this club. And I, you know, his actions have borne that out time and time again. And I think that without with a little less meddlesome of an agent, he would be in a lot, this would have happened a lot sooner, but I'm expecting it to be done relatively quickly, certainly long before there's ever the potential of the pre-contract window for him in starting in January. But I think it'll get done. And I think, like Sergio said, he can sit and do his work on the field without this distraction over his head now.
Yeah, I completely agree with Sam in the sense that, yeah, that release clause report really was really kind of like a new thing that we hadn't really heard on, you know, throughout this entire negotiations. And especially the number, I think it was reported, like the first report was that they want, like the Dybala's camp wanted it to be 50 million euros, which I know we're in a depressed, you know, coronavirus-induced economy. I get that, but that's a proof for a guy that, you know, on his day, you know, he can be the best player on our team. So it's just it that's kind of scary. I agree, but you know, the team has to move with the times, I guess. And if players demand them, I think I would love to go back to the time that said, like Sam said, like, they just wouldn't put them in contracts. But if that's the thing that's, you know, keeping this thing from actually happening, I wouldn't be completely opposed to it as long as it's, you know, a reasonable amount. Like I think Matthijs de Ligt, his release clause is over 100 million or something. Like if I recall, it's like, look, sure, if you want to pay us 100 million for a player, like what am I going to do with that? But yeah, I just hope that if that is the thing, I wouldn't like it, but if that's the thing that's keeping this deal from happening, just make it high enough or make it like those, you know, ridiculous release clauses they do in Spain. It was like every player was like 500 million euros because they have to or something.
Yeah. But yeah, La Liga requires a release clause in a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
yeah,
is just also dumb, but okay.
I think they mentioned on the broadcast here in the States over the weekend that Martin Braithwaite, obviously not Barcelona's best player by any stretch of the imagination, has a release clause of 247 million euros.
Martin Braithwaite. At that point, why have it at all? Like, I mean, yeah, that seems like a reasonable name for the reasonable number for Dybala, though. I wouldn't hate it. 247 million. I mean, that's, yeah, it seems fair. Put that in.
Yeah, dollars and dollars and euros, I'm telling you. Which it's a good song, people. Look it up, guys. I mean, obviously, people probably know that song. Yeah, and I echo Sergio's, you know, point of just the sheer absurdity of the situation with Dybala's contract negotiation. I mean, at this point, we're reaching a point where the negotiations for his contract are almost going to be longer than Dybala has played at the damn club. I mean, it's like, it's just, the whole thing is just absurd. So I don't know. Just, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous at this point, how long it's taken. So it's comical, really. But yeah.
All right. We'll wrap things up on two very, hopefully, amusing notes. Earlier today, when obviously we heard about the Locatelli and Dybala meetings happening on Friday and Saturday, respectively, I sent out a Twitter poll on the blog Twitter account at Juventus Nation about which will happen first, Locatelli to Juventus or Paulo Dybala's contract extension. And we've had close to 300 people vote, and you guys will be happy to know that it is basically dead even. So nobody knows when the heck these things will actually happen. And in response to the news about Paulo Dybala's contract extension talks going relatively well, our friends at the Atletico Madrid blog Into the Calderon responded with, "Don't worry, folks. Atletico will continue to be linked with Paulo Dybala until well after he retires." So on that note, we'll wrap things up. You can blame the guy who runs said Twitter account for not getting any Twitter questions again this week. As I said a few weeks ago, I will have a long discussion with him about his job performance on the Twitter account. So you can follow us there at Juventus Nation.
It's going to be a Connie Mack situation right there, is what that is.
That's right. Old school baseball references better than Chuck's rap references, that's for sure.
I was thinking more it was going to be like Mr. Smith in the Matrix. Why, Mr. Anderson? Why do you persist?
You got any references, Sergio, before we go?
No, I don't. I really don't think I can compete.
Perfect.
Respectfully, you know, yield the floor.
All right. I can see movie lines now popping into Chuck's head as we get ready to wrap this up.
Now I bow out on a high note. So.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, on Chuck's bowing out on a high note, you can listen to us on your favorite podcasting platform, be it Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, feel free to rate us, leave us a review, all that good stuff. 5 stars are always welcome. So for Sam, for Chucks, and for Sergio, this is Danny Singh. Thank you very much for listening. And we will talk to you guys next week, where we have a big Serie A season preview extravaganza planned or something like that. So we'll talk to you guys then.